Well, I want to welcome you again to the Fountain Church. Thank you so much for joining us for this online worship experience. Today, we're continuing in our series called Road to the Cross. And in this series, what we've been doing is we're taking a journey all the way to the foot of the cross. Specifically, we're looking at the last 24 hours leading up to that moment of Jesus' crucifixion. And today, we're going to be looking at, I believe, maybe the one of the most powerful pictures of the gospel that you might ever see. With a story today. And so, but before we get there, let me ask you this question. Have you ever been in a place in your life where you felt completely stuck? Where you just felt completely stuck? Maybe you were stuck in something, like you put on some clothing that was too tight and you couldn't get it off. Maybe you were trapped by something, stuck in a situation, and it was just some kind of thing where you just couldn't seem to get yourself out no matter how hard you try, like that Chinese finger trap, you know, that no matter how hard you tried to pull, you couldn't pull yourself out. You couldn't find a way. Some of you may be thinking right now, do you mean like right now? Because I have been trapped in my home because of the coronavirus. So yeah, I can relate to that. Especially if you have kids right now, you may be thinking, not only are we stuck in our home, but the natives that live here are starting to get restless, and they're about to revolt if something doesn't set us free. I want you to know today that the gospel story is all about freedom, your freedom. And so the bottom line we're going to be looking at today is this, is that whatever bondage that you're in, here's the bottom line, whatever bondage you're in, Jesus sets prisoners free. Jesus sets prisoners free. So I want you to see today that the cross was not some tragedy story. It was God's plan from the very beginning to take people who were spiritually stuck, people who couldn't get themselves to God, and it's a story of how Jesus frees us and saves us and connects us to God forever. And so last week we looked at the story where Jesus has just been on trial with the religious leaders. They had already decided his fate, and basically they accused him of blasphemy because he said that he was the Son of God. That's a big claim, unless you are. And so they realized they couldn't kill Jesus on their own. It was illegal to do that religiously. And so they bring Jesus to the governor leader, the governor of this Roman Empire, this Roman area. The Roman governor is Pontius Pilate. And I want you to check out how the story begins. Matthew chapter 27, starting with verse 11. Here's what it says. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priest and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked them, "Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. And so here's what's happening here. Here's what's happening here. Pontius Pilate was this cruel leader. He was this very cruel and ruthless leader who hated everybody and everything that stood in the way of his power. But here we see how Pilate actually had a soft spot for Jesus, because he realized that Jesus isn't a threat to Rome by saying he's the king of the Jews. This guy is probably innocent. He realized that what was happening was actually a scene that happened on an elementary school playground, basically, where it's this mob mentality where everybody's ganging up on one person. And so in this moment, I think what was so moving for Pilate, though, was seeing that Jesus didn't defend himself, seeing that he just stood there and he took it. He just remained silent. And I think what was so powerful about that is because everybody defends themselves. I've been reminded of that the last few days with my kids. We have been stuck at home, just as many of you have. And it's funny because there's a lot of things that go on in our household. They're learning a lot and they're playing a lot, our three kids. But there's been several times over the last few days, because we're all in close proximity, where I will hear a hurt scream from my now two-year-old son, Connor. And it's in that moment I realized that, oh man, one of our two older ones has hurt Connor. And so I'll run to the other room, wherever he is. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I've got to help my hurting son. And so I'll go into the room and I'll ask the other two. I'll say to them, what's wrong with him? What happened to him? And immediately, what do they start doing? Pointing and blaming. They start saying things like, well, I didn't do it. It wasn't my fault. I didn't mean to. Instead of helping me help their brother, all they've been doing is deflecting and really defending themselves so they don't get in trouble. And so here Jesus is, and he's remaining silent because he's thinking of you and he's thinking of me. He was on a mission. He's on a mission to go to the cross. And in that moment, I want you to check out what it says in John chapter 19. John chapter 19, Pilate asks this interesting question as Jesus is silent. Here's what he says. Pilate says, do you refuse to speak to me? Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you? And I love how Jesus answers him here. It's so funny. Here's what he says, verse 11. He says, Jesus says, you would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. In other words, Pilate, this is not a tragedy. Pilate, you're not really in control here. It's kind of ironic because he's saying to Pilate, Pilate, you're not the pilot of this situation. This is in the hands of our almighty good God who is working out his salvation plan even right now. And so Pilate does what many leaders do. He looked for a way to not look like a weak leader, and yet at the same time to do the right thing to set Jesus free. And so here's how the story goes, starting with verse 15. It says this. It says, now it was the governor's custom at the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Jesus Barabbas. Interesting, Jesus' name literally means, Jesus means God saves. And so Barabbas' name is literally God saves Barabbas. It says, so when the crowd gathered, Pilate asked them, which one do you want me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah? For he knew it was out of self-interest that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message. Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask Barabbas, to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. Which of the two do you want me to release to you? Asked the governor. Barabbas, they answered. What shall I do then with Jesus who is called the Messiah? Pilate asked. And they all answered, crucify him, crucify him. Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, crucify him, crucify him. When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. I am innocent of this man's blood, he said. It is your responsibility. All the people answered, his blood is on us and on our children. Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Folks, this scene with Barabbas is a powerful story, and it's maybe one of the greatest pictures that you will ever see about the gospel story for you and for me, what Jesus was willing to do, what God was willing to do to save us. Now, we don't know a whole lot about Barabbas, but what we know is that he was one of the most notorious criminals of the time. He was a murderer. He was this rebel leader who led a revolt against Rome. And so during this time, he was considered just like a terrorist. He's a dangerous guy. And so that's what we know about him. And so just try to imagine this scene. Try to imagine this. You have Jesus and Barabbas on the same stage. They're on the same stage and they're both in chains. They're both bound in chains and they're presented together. And in this moment, Pilate thought that he held the destinies of these two men in his hands. And so there was a tradition that during the Passover festival that Pilate could release a prisoner of his choosing, from death row. It was really whoever wins the popularity contest. And so Pilate stands on this audacious stage, this almost blasphemous stage, and he presents Jesus, the Son of the living God. And on the other hand, he presents Barabbas, this notorious murderer, this terrorist. He presents them together, and it's like he asks the crowd this. He says, okay, crowd, all right, Jews, who do you want? Who do you want me to release to you? And it's like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? There is no comparison here. There is no comparison. By the way, it's crazy that Jesus had to, before he went to the cross, he had to somehow win a popular vote. You know, is this American Idol or is this the gospel, right? There is no comparison. The bottom line is this: Barabbas is at the top of the most wanted list. He is a bad man, and by all records, he was completely deserving to die. He was a criminal. The chains were real. These were his chains. He deserved them. He deserved crucifixion. Jesus, on the other hand, what has Jesus ever done except for heal people and set people free? What else is what has Jesus done for people except for open blind eyes and open deaf ears? What has Jesus done except for heal paralyzed people and the lepers and love even people who are so, maybe even the greatest sinners of the time? And so Pilate says, crowd, who do you want? Do you want Barabbas? Do you want Barabbas or do you want Jesus? Who do you want? And in that moment, they said something crazy. Barabbas. Some of them are looking at each other like, yeah, we want Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. And it's like, are you kidding me? Like you're saying you want to release the most notorious criminal of the time, the one that you said you never want him on the streets again because you want Jesus executed? Are you kidding? And Pilate thinks, like so many times we think in our lives, Pilate looks at the situation and he basically says, well, I guess the people have spoken, you know? Yeah, but it wasn't the people who spoke. It wasn't the people and their fault. It, just in the same way, it wasn't the Roman guards who put Jesus on the cross. What was it? It was the love of our Heavenly Father for you and for me. And so what happens? What does Pilate do? Pilate goes over to the water basin, and very publicly, he takes the water out, and he washes his hands of responsibility. He washes his hands. By the way, I hope you're washing your hands right now. But what he does is he washes his hands of responsibility and he says, I'm innocent of this man's blood. It's not on me. It's not on me. This is on you. And here's the question. How many times have we done that in our lives where we deflect when we see somebody in need? We see somebody in need, somebody that we can love around us. Or maybe we see a problem in the world that's in front of us, and if we could just dedicate ourselves partially to it at least, or if we could give ourselves to serve that situation, we could change it. But instead, what do? Oftentimes, we oftentimes follow the crowd. We do what's easy. We do what's most convenient. And so, what do? Oftentimes, we see people in need, and we go over to the water basin. And we wash our hands of responsibility and we say, it's not on me. Let me encourage you by this, church. In this season, you will always find more and more and more people to love. And when you're put in a position, when you have an opportunity to love people, let's not be hand washers, washing our hands of responsibility. I want to encourage you instead, let's be the church. Let's find ways to still love people, even in the middle of a situation where it's harder to be around people. Let's reach out and be the church. It's interesting what the people said here. They said to Pilate, they said, let Jesus' blood be on us and on our children. See, they wanted all the credit. They wanted a religious award, if you will, for getting rid of Jesus. But they didn't know what they were saying, did they? Because the truth is, while they're saying, let us be held responsible, what they don't realize, it's only by Jesus' blood that they and their children and generations after them can be set free. So just imagine this scene. Release Barabbas. Okay. And what happens is they go over to Barabbas, this criminal, and he's in chains, and they unlock the keys of the chains. And all of a sudden, in that moment, Barabbas realizes, I'm a free man. And he walks forward on this platform, probably high-fiving his thug friends as he walks off. Like, yeah, my people, they love me. I don't know who this Jesus guy is, but you see, my people love me, right? And there doesn't seem to be any conscience in Barabbas. There doesn't seem to be any guilt, any shame, and certainly no gratefulness to God. There's no record of him turning to Jesus and saying, Jesus, now that you have given your life to me, I now turn my life over to you. I mean, we don't see that. That's not the picture here. And so it's one of those things where it's like, this guy, there is nothing good in him. There is nothing that is worth saving. And yet, Jesus saved Barabbas. Jesus set him free. Now, this is a moment where we ask this question, but God, with all that grace, but God, didn't you know that by setting him free and offering him tremendous grace, that he would never turn around to receive that grace in his life? That he would always be ungrateful and he would never turn to you? Did you know that? And I can almost hear our Heavenly Father saying, yeah, I knew that. I see people like Barabbas all the time, and I would do it all over again because I love people like Barabbas. For while we were yet sinners, the gospel says Christ died for us. See, God sent his son for people like Barabbas, people who would walk away and never come back because Jesus loves even people like Barabbas. And so Jesus just stood there silent, watching all this play out because he knew the will of the Father. Jesus knew that the Father would have to treat Barabbas, and he would have to treat Jesus like Barabbas so that he could treat Barabbas like Jesus. See, don't you see what this is all about? Barabbas is really not a story about a criminal. It's not only a story about a criminal. Barabbas is a picture of the gospel. It's a picture of what Jesus has done for you and for me, this free gift of his grace. Because of Jesus, the prisoner is set free. Jesus sees your sin today. He sees your past. He sees your disappointments. He sees your shame. And what does Jesus do? He stands in the gap. He stands in the gap. Jesus takes your place. He stands in the way of every sin that separates you from God. And he says, put it on me. And so he does all that so that we can stand in the place of Jesus as forgiven and free children of God. The truth is, we won't ever realize the power of salvation until we realize our need for a Savior. So one theologian once put it like this, is that sin will take you further than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and keep you longer than you want to stay. But I want to tell you that grace will set you free. Grace will save you, and God's grace has the power to change you no matter where you are. And so let me ask you this question today. Are you bound? Are you bound today? Do you find yourself being separated from God, or at least the person that you feel like God has put inside of you? Do you feel bound and held under the weight of the power of temptation or of your sin? The good news is this. Jesus came to set you free. So right where you are today, Jesus has offered you the gift of salvation. It's a free gift of God's grace if you will simply receive it. If you will receive it by faith and say yes to his grace, you can stand before God today as a forgiven and free child of God because of what Jesus has done. Because Jesus took off our chains. Because Jesus walked off to the cross. It's all because of that. He took all that we deserved. Jesus sets prisoners free, and he can do that for you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that today that gospel story is a story that's for me. It's the gospel story that's for every single person. No matter where we're watching from today, my prayer today is that we would realize that God, you loved us so much that you sent your one and only Son into the world, that whoever believes in you will not perish but will have eternal life, will be connected to you forever. And so God, I pray that you would help us. I pray right now for that person who is maybe could see themselves in the crowd, who maybe we're those type of people who think that we have it all figured out, that we've got all the religious answers. Got to pray for that person today who is maybe tempted to wash their hands of responsibility instead of doing the right thing in this season. But I also pray for that person who stands just like Barabbas, who maybe sees themselves right now so far away from you. I pray, God, that today that you would help us all to see that it's not, salvation is never based on anything we could ever do for you, God. It's based on everything that you've done for us. So Jesus, today, maybe there's somebody today who would say, I want to receive that free gift of your grace. I want that to be my story. And so if you would just bow your head right where you are, and let's pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I see myself in Barabbas' story. I know that I can't free myself from the power of sin and to become the person that, God, you want me to be. And so, Jesus, today I turn from my way of living and I turn to your way of living. I ask you to be the savior of my sins and the leader of my life. And I know that I don't have to be perfect from this day forward, but God, I pray that you would help me from this point forward to begin to start walking forward with you every day and allowing you to truly be my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.